This is Audible.
Listening Library presents Catwoman, Soul Stealer by Sarah J. Maas. Read for you by Julia Whalen. For the women who raise hell and have fun doing it. Before. Chapter 1. The roaring crowd in the makeshift arena didn't set her blood on fire. It did not shake her, or rile her, or set her hopping from foot to foot. No, Selena Kyle only rolled her shoulders, once, twice, and waited. The wild cheering that barreled down the grimy hallway to the prep room was little more than a distant rumble of thunder. A storm. Just like the one that had swept over the East End on her walk from the apartment complex. She'd been soaked before she reached the covert subway entrance that led into the underground gaming warren owned by Carmine Falcone, the latest of Gotham City's endless parade of mob bosses. But like any other storm, this fight, too, would be weathered. Rain still drying in her long, dark hair, Selena checked that it was indeed tucked into its tight bun atop her head. She'd made the mistake once of wearing a ponytail, in her second street fight. The other girl had managed to grab it, and those few seconds when Selena's neck had been exposed had lasted longer than any in her life. But she'd won, barely, and she'd learned. Had learned at every fight since, whether on the streets above or in the arena carved into the sewers beneath Gotham City. It didn't matter who her opponent was tonight. The challengers were all usually variations of the same. Desperate men who owed more than they could repay to Falcone. Fools willing to risk their lives for a chance to lift their debt by taking on one of his leopards in the ring. The prize? Never having to look over their shoulder for a waiting shadow. The cost of failing? Having their asses handed to them, and the debts remained. Usually with the promise of a one-way ticket to the bottom of the Sprang River. The odds of winning? Slim to none. Regardless of whatever sad sack she'd be battling tonight, Selena prayed Falcone would give her the nod faster than last time. That fight? He'd made her keep that particularly brutal match going. The crowd had been too excited, too ready to spend money on the cheap alcohol and everything else for sale in the subterranean warren. She'd taken home more bruises than usual, and the man she'd beaten to unconsciousness? Not her problem, she told herself again and again. Even when she saw her adversary's bloodied faces in her dreams, both asleep and waking. What Falcone did with them after the fight was not her problem. She left her opponents breathing. At least she had that. And at least she wasn't dumb enough to push back outright, like some of the other leopards, the ones who were too proud or too stupid or too young to get how the game was played. No, her small rebellions against Carmine Falcone were subtler. He wanted men dead. She left them unconscious. But did it so well that not one person in the crowd objected. A fine line to walk, especially with her sister's life hanging in the balance. Push back too much, and Falcone might ask questions, start wondering who meant the most to her, where to strike hardest. She'd never allow it to get to that point, never risk Maggie's safety like that, even if these fights were all for her, every one of them. It had been 3 years since Selena had joined the Leopards, and nearly 2.5 since she'd proved herself against the other girl gangs well enough that Mika, her alpha, had introduced her to Falcone. Selena hadn't dared miss that meeting. Order in the girl gangs was simple. The alpha of each gang ruled and protected, laid down punishment and reward. The alpha's commands were law. And the enforcers of those commands were their seconds and thirds. From there, the pecking order turned murkier. Fighting offered a way to rise in the ranks, or you could fall, depending on how badly a match went. Even an alpha might be challenged, if you were dumb or brave enough to do so. But the thought of ascending the ranks had been far from Selena's mind when Mika had brought Falcone over to watch her take on the second of the wolf pack and leave the girl leaking blood onto the concrete of the alley. Before that fight, only 4 leopard spots had been inked onto Selena's pale left arm, each a trophy of a fight won. Selena adjusted the hem of her white tank. At 17, she now had 27 spots inked across both arms. Undefeated. That's what the match MC was declaring down the hall. Selena could just make out the croon of words. The undefeated champion, the fiercest of leopards. Her hand drifted to the one item she was allowed to bring into the arena, the bullwhip. Some leopards opted for signature makeup or clothes to make their identities stand out in the ring. Selena had little money to spare for that kind of thing, not when a tube of lip gloss could cost as much as a small meal. But Mika had been unimpressed when Selena had shown up to her first official fight in her old gymnastics leotard and a pair of leggings. "You look like you're going to jazzercise," her alpha had said. "Let's give you some claws, at least." All sorts of small weapons were allowed in the ring, short of knives and guns. But there hadn't been any on hand that night. No, there had only been the bullwhip, discarded in a pile of props from when this place had hosted some sort of alternative circus. "You've got 10 minutes to figure out how to use it," Mika had warned Selena before leaving her to it. She'd barely figured out how to snap the thing before she was shoved into the fighting ring. The whip had been more of a hindrance than a help in that first fight, but the crowd had loved it. And some small part of her had loved it, the crack that cleaved through the world. So she'd learned to wield it, until it became an extension of her arm, until it gave her an edge that her slight frame didn't offer. The high drama it provided in the ring didn't hurt either. A thump on the metal door was her signal to go. Selena checked the bullwhip at her hip, her black spandex pants, the green sneakers that matched her eyes, though no one had ever commented on it. She flexed her fingers within their wrappings. All good. Or as good as could be. Her muscles were loose, her body limber, courtesy of her old gymnastics warm-up, which she'd repurposed for these fights. Between the physical fighting, the whip, and the sheer acrobatics that she used both for show and to throw her heavier opponents off balance, making sure her body was ready for these fights was half the battle. The rusty door groaned as Selena opened it. Mika was tending to the new girl in the hall beyond, the flickering fluorescent lights draining the alpha's golden skin of its usual glow. Mika threw Selena an assessing look over her narrow shoulder, her black braid shifting with the movement. The white girl sniffling in front of her gingerly wiped away the blood streaming from her swollen nose. One of the kitten's eyes was already puffy and red, the other swimming with unshed tears. No wonder the crowd was riled. If a leopard had taken that bad a beating, it must have been one hell of a fight. Brutal enough that Mika put a hand on the girl's pale arm to keep her from swaying. Down the shadowy hall that led into the arena, one of Falcone's bouncers beckoned. Selena shut the door behind her. She'd left no valuables. She had nothing worth stealing anyway. "Be careful," Mika said as Selena passed, the Asian girl's voice low and soft. "He's got a worse batch than usual tonight." The kitten hissed, yanking her head away as Mika dabbed her split lip with a disinfectant wipe. Mika snarled a warning at her, and the kitten wisely fell still, trembling a bit as the alpha cleaned out the cut. Mika added, without glancing back, "He saved the best for you. Sorry." "He always does," Selena said coolly, even as her stomach roiled. "I can handle it." She didn't have any other choice. Losing would leave Maggie with no one to look after her, and refusing to fight? Not an option either. In the 3 years that Selena had known Mika, the Alpha had never suggested ending their arrangement with Carmine Falcone. Not when having Falcone back the Leopards made the other East End gangs think twice about pushing in on their territory. Even if it meant doing these fights and offering up Leopards for the crowd's enjoyment. Falcone turned it into a weekly spectacle, a veritable Roman circus to make the underbelly of Gotham City love and fear him. It certainly helped that many of the other notorious lowlifes had been imprisoned, thanks to certain do-gooders running around the city in capes. Mika eased the kitten to the prep room, giving Selina a jerk of the chin, an order to go. But Selina paused to scan the hall, the exits. Even down here, in the heart of Falcone's territory, it was a death wish to be defenseless in the open, especially if you were an alpha with as many enemies as Mika. Three figures slipped in from a door at the opposite end of the hall, and Selina's shoulders loosened a bit at the sight of the Latina girl who emerged. Ani, Mika's second, with two other low-ranking leopards flanking her. Good. They'd guard the exit while their alpha tended to their own. The crowd's cheering rumbled through the concrete floor, rattling the loose ceramic tiles on the walls, echoing along Selina's bones and breath as she neared the dented metal door to the arena. The bouncer gestured for her to hurry the hell up, but she kept her strides even, stalking. The leopards, these fights, they were her job. And it paid well. With her mother gone and her sister sick, no legit job could pay as much or as quickly. The leopards had asked no questions 3 years ago. They hadn't wondered if she'd deliberately picked that fight with the razor girl in the block courtyard, and another, until Mika came sniffing about the hothead in Building C. Mika only told her that pulling this sort of shit in the East End would get her killed pretty fast, and that the leopards could use a fighter like her. The alpha didn't ask who had taught her to fight, or how to take a punch. The bouncer opened the door, the unfiltered roar of the crowd bursting down the hall like a pack of rabid wolves. Selina Kyle blew out a long breath as she lifted her chin and stepped into the sound and the light and the wrath. Let the bloodying begin. Her hands were so swollen that she could barely handle her keys. Their jangling filled her apartment complex's hallway, loud as a goddamn dinner bell. It took every lingering scrap of concentration to keep her hand steady enough to slide the key into the top lock. Selina refused to look at the three others beneath it, each as imposing as a mountain peak. Too long. Falcone had dragged out the fight for too long. Mika hadn't been lying about her opponent. The man had been a fighter himself, not well-trained, but big, twice her weight, and desperate to repay his debt. His blows had hurt, to say the least. But she'd won, not by brute strength, but because she'd been smarter. When the injuries had started to pile up, when he'd managed to snatch the whip from her hand, when she'd temporarily lost sight in one eye thanks to the blood, she'd used simple physics against him. Her science teacher would be proud. If she showed up to class tomorrow, or next week. The top lock snapped open. Against larger, heavier opponents, pure physical strength wasn't her greatest ally. No, her own arsenal was something different. Speed, agility, flexibility, mostly thanks to those countless gymnastics classes, and the bullwhip. All things that she might use to surprise her opponents, to harness the speed of a 200-pound man charging at her and wield it against him. A few maneuvers, and that blind rush at her would turn into a flip onto his back, or a face-first collision with one of the posts, or the bullwhip around his leg, yanking his balance out from under him as she drove her elbow into his gut. Always aim for the soft parts. She'd learned that before she'd ever set foot in the ring. Her left eye still a bit blurry, Selina surveyed either side of the grayish-blue painted hallway, skimming over the graffiti, the puddle of something that wasn't water. None of it threatening. The shadowy parts of the hall? Precisely why there were four locks on this door. Why Maggie was to open it under zero circumstances, especially for their mother, and whoever her mother might have with her. There was still a dent in the metal door from the last time, 6 months ago. A large, round dent, right beside the peephole, where the sweaty man who'd stood beside her strung-out mother had planted his fist when Selena refused to answer the door. They'd left only when a neighbor had threatened to call the cops. There were nice people in this building, good people, but calling the cops would have made things worse. Cops meant questions, questions about their living situation. Selena turned back to the door, assured that no one had slipped into those shadows. In the shape she was in, she managed to open the second lock, and the third. Selena was just starting on the final lock when the elevator grumbled down the hall. The dented doors parted to reveal Mrs. Sullivan, grocery bags in one hand, keys threaded like metal claws through the fingers of her other. Their eyes met as the ancient white woman hobbled down the hall, and Selena gave her a nod, praying the hood of the sweatshirt beneath her jacket concealed her face. The bullwhip, at least, was hidden down her back. Mrs. Sullivan frowned deeply, clicking her tongue, and hurried for her apartment. The woman had five locks. Selena took her time with the final lock, well aware the woman was monitoring her every movement. She debated telling Mrs. Sullivan that she wasn't lingering because she was thinking of robbing her. Debated it, and decided against it, at the sneer the old woman threw her way. Trash. That was the word that danced in Mrs. Sullivan's eyes before she slammed shut the door to her apartment and all those locks clicked into place. Selena was too sore to bother being pissed off by it. She'd heard worse. She freed the last lock and entered the apartment, quickly shutting and locking the door. Lock after lock after lock, then the chain at the very top. The apartment was dim, illuminated only by the golden glow of the streetlights in the courtyard outside the two windows of their living room kitchen. She was pretty sure there were people in Gotham City whose bathrooms were bigger than the entirety of this space, but at least she kept it as clean as she could. The tang of tomato sauce and the sweetness of bread lingered in the air. A peek in the fridge revealed that Maggie had indeed eaten the food Selena had bought for her after school. A lot of it. Good. Shutting the fridge, Selena opened the freezer and fished out a bag of peas stashed beside a stack of frozen dinners. She pushed it against her throbbing cheek as she counted those frozen dinners. Just three. Their meals for the rest of the week, once the Italian ran out. Pressing the frozen peas to her face, savoring the cool bite, Selena stashed the bullwhip under the sink, towed off her sneakers, and padded over the dingy green carpet of the living area to the hallway with the bathroom and single bedroom across from it. The tiny bathroom was dark, empty, but to her left, a warm glow leaked from the door left ajar. The wad of cash in her back pocket was still not enough, not between rent and food and Maggie's tests and copays. Her chest tight, she eased open the door with a shoulder, craning her head inside the bedroom. It was the only place of color in the apartment, painted buttercup yellow and plastered with Broadway posters Selena had been lucky enough to find when yet another East End school had been shut down and cleared out its theater department. Those posters now watched over the girl in the bed, curled up under some cartoon kid's comforter that was about two sizes too small and 10 years too worn. So was everything in the room, including the glowworm nightlight Maggie still insisted be left on. Selena didn't blame her. At 13, Maggie had dealt with enough shit to earn the right to do whatever she wanted. The labored, rasping breathing that filled the room was proof enough. Selena silently picked up one of the several inhalers beside Maggie's bed and checked the gauge. More than enough left if another coughing fit hit her tonight. Not that Selena wouldn't rush in here from her spot on the living room couch the moment she heard her sister's hacking coughs. After plugging in the humidifier, Selena crept back to the living space and slumped into a cracked vinyl chair at the small table in the middle of the kitchen. Everything ached. Everything throbbed and burned and begged her to lie down. Selena checked the clock. 2 a.m. They had school in 5 hours. Well, Maggie had school. Selena certainly couldn't go with her face like this. She fished the cash from her pocket and set it on the plastic table. Hauling a small box in the center of the table toward her, Selena looted through it with the hand that hurt only a fraction less than the other. She'd have to be smart at the market. The EBT funds only stretched so far, certainly not far enough to cover herself and a sister with severe cystic fibrosis. Selena had read up on food as medicine on a library computer while waiting for Maggie to finish her after-school theater class. Not a cure-all, but eating healthy could help. Anything was worth a try. If it bought them time. If it brought Maggie any relief. Cystic fibrosis. Selena couldn't remember a time when she hadn't known those words. What they meant? The incurable genetic disease that caused a buildup of mucus in several organs, but especially the lungs. The mucus clogged and blocked airways, where it trapped bacteria that at best led to infections. At worst, lung damage and respiratory failure. And then there was the mucus that also built up in the pancreas, blocking the enzymes that helped break down food and absorb nutrients. Selena had Googled it once. Life expectancy for severe cystic fibrosis. She'd closed the web browser and vomited into the library's toilet for 30 minutes afterward. Selena studied the cash on the table and swallowed. The kinds of healthy foods Maggie needed didn't come cheap. The frozen microwave dinners were emergency meals, garbage food. The fresh Italian meal Maggie had consumed tonight was a rare treat. And perhaps an apology for the fight Selena had left her sister in order to take part in.
Your face.
The rasping words had Selena's head snapping up.
You should be asleep.
Maggie's curly brown hair was half wild, a pillow wrinkle running down her too thin, pale cheek. Only her green eyes, the single trait they shared, despite having two different fathers, were clear, alert.
Don't forget to ice your hands. You won't be able to use them tomorrow if you don't.
Selena gave her sister a half smile, which only made her face hurt more, and obeyed, transferring the peas from her throbbing face to the split, swollen skin of her knuckles. At least the swelling had gone down since the fight finished an hour ago. Maggie slowly crossed the room, and Selena tried not to wince at the labored breathing, the quiet clearing of her sister's throat. The latest lung infection had taken its toll, and the color was gone from her usually pink cheeks.
You should go to the hospital,
Maggie breathed.
Or let me clean you up.
Selena ignored both suggestions and asked,
How are you feeling?
Maggie pulled the pile of cash toward her, eyes widening as she began counting wrinkled 20s.
Fine.
You do your homework?
A wry, exasperated look.
Yes, and tomorrow's.
Good girl.
Maggie studied her, those green eyes too alert, too aware.
We've got the doctor tomorrow, after school.
What about it?
Maggie finished counting the money and neatly set the stack into the small box with the EBT card.
Mom won't be there.
Neither would Maggie's father, whoever he was. Selena doubted even her mother knew. Selena's own father? She only knew what her mother had said during one of her rambling monologues while high, that her mother had met him through a friend at a party. Nothing more. Not even a name. Selena moved the frozen peas from her right hand to her left.
No, she won't. But I will.
Maggie scratched at an invisible fleck on the table.
Auditions for the spring play are soon.
You going to try out?
A little shrug.
I want to ask the doctor, if I can.
So responsible, her sister.
What musical is it this year?
Carousel.
Have we watched that one?
A shake of the head, those curls bouncing, and a beaming smile. Selena smiled back.
But I assume we're going to watch it tomorrow night?
Friday night, movie night. Courtesy of a DVD player she and the Leopards had taken off the back of a truck and the library's extensive movie section. Maggie nodded. Broadway musicals, Maggie's not-so-secret dream, and lifelong obsession. Selena had no idea where it had come from. They'd certainly never been able to afford theater tickets, but Maggie's school had taken plenty of field trips to Gotham City productions. Perhaps she'd picked it up at one of those outings, that undying love. Undimming, even when the cystic fibrosis battered her lungs so brutally that singing, standing on a stage, and dancing were difficult. Perhaps a lung transplant might change that, but she was at the bottom of a long, long list. Even as Maggie's health plummeted with each passing month, she didn't move any higher, and the drugs that the doctors had hailed as breakthroughs that would add decades of life for some people with CF, Maggie hadn't responded to them. But Selena wasn't about to tell her sister any of that. She'd never make her feel like there were limits to what she could do. That Maggie was even willing to audition made Selena's chest unbearably tight. "You should go to bed," Selena said to her sister, setting down the frozen peas.
"You should too," Maggie said tartly.
Selena huffed a low laugh that made her aching body protest in agony. "We'll go together." She winced as she stood and chucked the peas back in the freezer. She'd just turned around when frail arms wrapped carefully around her waist, as if Maggie knew that bruises now bloomed on her ribs.
"I love you, Selena,"
she said quietly. Selena kissed the top of Maggie's head through the riot of curls and rubbed her sister's back, even as it made her fingers bark in pain. Worth it, though, that pain, as she held her sister, the fridge a steady hum around them. Worth it. "I don't understand how our copay the last time was so much cheaper." It was an effort to keep her voice steady, to keep her hands from curling into fists on the counter of the hospital's checkout desk. The aging woman in pink floral scrubs barely glanced up from her computer.
"I can only tell you what the computer tells me."
She pointed with a long purple nail to whatever was on the screen.
"And this says you owe $500 today."
Selena clenched her jaw so hard it ached, glancing over a shoulder to where Maggie waited in one of the plastic chairs against the white wall, reading a book, but her eyes weren't darting over the page. Selena kept her voice down, even though she knew Maggie would just lean forward to eavesdrop. "Last month, it was $100. That purple nail tapped against the screen.
"Dr. Tasker did tests today. Your insurance doesn't cover them."
"No one told me that."
Even if they had, Maggie needed those tests. Yet the results they'd received. Selena shoved the thought from her mind, along with what the doctor had said moments ago. The woman finally looked up from her computer long enough to take in Selena. The swelling had gone down on her face, the bruises concealed with some expert makeup and artful arranging of her curtain of dark hair. The woman's blue eyes narrowed.
"Are you the parent or guardian?"
Selena just said, "We can't pay that bill."
"Then it's something to take up with your insurance company."
Yes, but Maggie would need more tests like the one she'd had today, the next one in 2 weeks, the third a month from now. Selena did the math and swallowed the tightness in her throat. "There's nothing the hospital can do?" The woman typed away, keys clacking.
"It's an issue for your insurance company."
"Our insurance company will say it's an issue for you."
The clacking on those keys stopped.
"Where's your mother?"
The woman glanced around Selena as if she'd find her mother standing a few feet away. Selena was half tempted to tell the woman to take a stroll through an East End alley, since that was the only place their mother would be, dead or alive. Instead, she plucked up the insurance card that had been left on the counter and said flatly, "She's at work." The woman didn't seem convinced, but she said,
"We'll send the bill to your house."
Selena didn't bother replying as she turned and scooped up her sister's heavy backpack. Slinging it over a shoulder, she motioned for Maggie to follow her to the elevator bay.
"We don't have $500,
Maggie murmured while Selena punched the elevator button harder than was necessary. "No. Between the food and rent and today's tests, the money from the fight wouldn't stretch far enough."
"Don't worry about it,"
Selena said, watching the elevator floors light up one by one. Maggie wrapped her arms around herself. Not good. The news had not been good. That crushing tunnel vision again crept up on Selena. Those $500 and those stupid tests and that bland-faced doctor saying, "There's no cure for CF, but let's try another route or two." She'd almost asked, "Before what?" As Maggie continued to hold herself, her blunted, rounded fingertips, their shape another screw you from the disease, dug into her thin arms hard enough to make Selena wince. Selena pried one of her sister's hands free and interlaced their fingers. Squeezing tightly, neither sister let go the entire trek home. The neighbors were really at each other's throats. Barely 5 minutes after Selena had turned on the movie, the shouting and screeching had begun filtering in through the wall behind them. Curled up on the sagging, stained couch that also served as Selena's bed, her sister tucked against one end with her feet in Selena's lap, Selena half-listened to the drunken fight unfurling next door and the musical on the ancient TV in front of them. Carousel. The music was fine, even if everyone was a bit too judgy and smiley and the dude was a total controlling loser douchebag. Still, Maggie's head swayed and bobbed along. The aroma of cheap mac and cheese clung to the air. Selena had offered to buy Maggie a real dinner out, but Maggie had wanted to just go home. Tired, she'd said. She hadn't lost that grim-faced expression since the hospital, and there was enough of a nip in the air that Selena hadn't tried to convince her. Not that they had the money. But after the doctor's not-so-sunny prognosis, what difference did $30 make? Selena eyed her flip phone sitting on the coffee table she'd propped her feet on. Mika and the other leopards knew not to call on Fridays, knew tonight was the only night Selena wouldn't show up, no matter the job or the threat. But if Mika called right then, saying Falcone was hosting another fight and it'd pay big, she'd take it. She'd take 3 fights in a row. Yet, no. She had to be smart about it. If she was hurt badly, the hospital social workers would come sniffing, ask where their mother was, and likely recognize the tattoos inked down Selena's arms, tattoos she kept covered year-round with long sleeves. Even with Maggie, she made sure to dress in the bathroom and never to roll her sleeves up too high while washing her hands. But in the ring, those tattoos were on full display for her opponents. "Look how many have fallen," they snarled at all who saw them. "You're next." The wall behind them thudded, rattling the 2 framed pictures. The bigger one, a photo of her and Maggie from 2 years ago. The frame stolen, the photo a cheap printout off the school library printer. They'd been sitting on a bench in the park on a glorious fall day, the trees bright as jewels around them, and Maggie had asked a passing businesswoman to take the picture on her phone. The quality of the image wasn't great, but the light shining from Maggie's face was still undeniable. And the second, a photo of Selena 5 years ago, midair as she executed a perfect backflip on a balance beam, one of many gymnastics competitions she'd participated in, and won. Her instructor at the Y had tried to convince her to keep going after those initial 3 years, claiming that she was remarkably gifted. But Maggie's illness had been getting worse, their mom had just bailed, and the time and money it would take to train and compete, not an option. So Selena had stopped going to gymnastics class, had stopped picking up the coach's calls, even if she still used everything she'd learned in her fights. The crowds loved it too, perhaps more than the bullwhip. Their favorite? A back handspring into a backflip right onto her opponent's shoulders, where gravity and a squeeze of her legs around the throat did the work in bringing a man to his knees. A string of curses shot through the apartment, and Maggie leaned forward to grab the remote off the table and punch up the volume.
"This is the big number,"
her sister explained, eyes fixed on the screen.
"The most famous song in the musical."
The controlling douchebag had indeed launched into a seemingly endless monologue.
"He's just found out that his wife is pregnant, and he's having a total freakout.
I'm watching, Selena said, brows lifting. Maggie smiled, shaking her head.
You were listening to the neighbors.
Guilty. Selena gave her sister a wince of apology and focused again on the musical. Musing and brooding and gloating about the son he'd have, utter macho nonsense. They're really putting this on at your school? Maggie hushed her with a waved hand. The song shifted, the jerk now mulling over what it'd be like with a daughter, more macho nonsense and misogynistic crap. Selena slid her attention over to Maggie as the music shifted, rising. Her sister's beautiful green eyes were wide and bright.
This is the part,
she whispered. The music exploded, and her sister's lips moved, mouthing every word. Mouthing, because those failing lungs couldn't hold enough air to make the sounds, and the latest infection in them had ripped away any chance of holding a note in key. Maggie silently sang on, not missing a word. Selena looked to the screen, to the crashing ocean and the man belting out every note, every dream to shelter and clothe and keep food on the table for his child, to attain money in any way he could, whether by theft or by making it honestly. His only alternative, die trying. And for a moment, it seemed that even the neighbors quieted to hear it. The entire complex, all of the East End. When Selena glanced back to her sister, Maggie was staring at her, mouth closed, eyes bright with tears. And it was the understanding on her sister's face, the way Maggie's damp eyes flicked the bruises on Selena's own. Selena made herself stay seated for another minute. 2, 5, 10. Maggie went back to watching the movie. The neighbors went back to screaming and cursing. Then Selena casually rose, gently setting Maggie's blanket-wrapped feet on the couch before padding for the bathroom. She wondered if her sister saw her scoop up her phone. Selena shut the bathroom door and ran the sink faucet on full blast. She managed to close the lid on the toilet, at least, before she slumped onto it and covered her face with both hands, breathing hard between her fingers. The room pushed in, and she couldn't get air down fast enough, deep enough. Her hands slid to her chest, as if she'd somehow will her lungs to open up, her lungs and Maggie's lungs, wrecked and failing. There are countless other desperate patients waiting for lung transplants, the doctor had said this afternoon. I would not count on it as an option. Unless you were rich enough to buy your way up that list, or to buy yourself a pair on the black market. Selena took gulping mouthfuls of air, hands shaking so badly she lowered them to her knees, gripping tight. They were fighting for 20 years at best, at worst. The rate at which the disease has progressed and Maggie's resistance to the drugs are cause for concern, the doctor had gone on, speaking more to his flock of interns than to them. Maggie hadn't asked him if she could be in the musical. Her sister had known. She'd known that this thing that made her come alive with joy, that gave her whatever slim shred of hope, it didn't matter how many fights Selena fought for her, how many stores she looted with the leopards, the blood and the bruises and the cracked ribs could not buy her sister a new set of lungs, or a cure for this disease, or a chance to stand on that school stage and belt her heart out. Sobs threatened, shuddering beneath each breath. Selena covered her face again as if she could hide it, the tears that rose up within her like a tidal wave that she pushed back and back and back. Hands trembling, she grabbed the phone off the narrow sink counter, fingers shaking so wildly she could barely text Mika. I need another fight. ASAP. Mika replied a few minutes later. If you need cash, I've got you covered. Tempting, but too many complications. She wouldn't be able to repay Mika. And though she trusted her alpha, this was the East End. Everyone needed cash, and Mika might be ruthless in getting it returned to her. Fights are fine. Then, after a heartbeat, but thank you. Mika's response came instantly. Anything I should be concerned about? Not because she cared, but because if it was something that threatened the leopards, she needed to know. Just personal shit. Whether the leopards knew her sister was sick, she wasn't sure. She had never told them, and Mika wasn't the type to ask. Mika replied, "You healed enough from last night to do it?" "No." "Yes." Selena blew out a breath, tears sinking back into her. Shutting off the faucet, she listened. The musical continued on, along with the neighbors fighting. She could steal the money, of course, had done it in the past with the leopards, even enjoyed the puzzle that some burglaries offered, how to break inside a place, how to ease past the guards or security systems, how to avoid leaving a trace. But to go it alone? She hadn't done that yet. Wouldn't risk jail, not with fighting as a relatively safer option. Mika only said, "I'll ask Falcone." Selena flipped her phone shut and flushed the toilet. Mercifully, her hands had stopped shaking by the time she emerged into the living room, where her sister was still bundled on the couch. Maggie picked up the remote and paused the movie. Looking Selena over with eyes that missed nothing, not even the cell phone clenched in Selena's hand, Maggie asked quietly,
"Can't you just ask for the money?"
Selena didn't care to guess how Maggie had figured it out as she slid her phone into her back pocket. No. She and the leopards were often sent by Falcone to those in his debt, either to remind them of the money owed or to exact punishment when the final warning had been ignored. It was ugly and dirty, and over her dead body would she be in his debt.
But
no. Maggie opened her mouth again, green fire lighting her eyes, but a knock sounded on the door. They froze. Not good. At this hour. Another pounding knock.
Police!
Chapter 2. Shit. Selena had cataloged every possible exit from this apartment. She looked toward the window at the other end of the room. Could her sister make it down the fire escape fast enough to slip away? She'd carry Maggie if she had to. Selena winced as she shot to her feet, lingering pain lashing through her body. Maggie threw the blanket off her legs as the door rattled again.
"What do we do?"
she breathed. If this was about the leopards?
"We're looking for Maria Kyle," the officer said.
Selena blew out a breath that Maggie echoed. Thank God. They dealt with this in the past, several times.
"Hide,"
Maggie mouthed. The cops would surely start asking questions if they saw her bruises. Selena shook her head, but Maggie stood and pointed to the bedroom in a silent order. Another pound on the door. Selena limped over and confirmed it was two thickly built GCPD officers standing there, one dark-haired and the other balding and mustached, before heading for the bedroom closet. A reliable hiding place in the past, a pocket of it tucked back far enough that she could remain hidden, or put Maggie in there. Selena was just climbing in around the tightly packed clothes when Maggie opened the front door, locks clicking free. Ears straining, Selena heard her sister say quietly, the portrait of sleepy confusion,
"My mom didn't come home tonight."
One of the cops asked, "Can we come in?"
"I'm not allowed to let in strangers," her sister said. "Even cops."
A pause. Then a woman's voice asked,
"What about social workers, Maggie?"
Selena's heart stopped dead. There hadn't been a woman outside when she looked, no mention of social services. Maggie stammered,
"Why? My mother isn't here."
"We know," the woman said calmly, but not gently.
"She's down at the precinct."
Hangers rattling, Selena shoved out of the closet, pain barking down her body as she stepped over neatly folded piles of clothes, the room now a minefield keeping her from getting to the hall. She stumbled into the living room, where Maggie stood before the open door, the two towering cops, and a small, fair woman in an ill-fitting suit. They all looked at her, the cops' eyes narrowing as they beheld the bruises, the woman's face tightening in disapproval.
"Good. I'm glad you're here, too," was all the social worker said.
Maggie backed up to Selena's side, The officers and the social worker pushed into the apartment, shutting the door behind them. Selena knew the neighbors were likely listening through the walls as the social worker went on.
"We picked up your mom earlier tonight. She's not in good shape."
A glance around the apartment.
"But I'm sure you know that."
"We do," Selena said evenly.
"You're not in good shape either," the woman added.
"I'm fine. Just fell down the stairs yesterday."
"Must have been some fall,"
one of the cops said, crossing his thick arms. A gun, a billy club, and a taser hung from his heavy belt.
Selena said, "We can't make her bail."
The social worker had the nerve to laugh quietly.
"We're not here for that."
A glance between her and Maggie.
"We're here to bring you two in."
"Maggie's innocent," Selena said, pushing her sister behind her.
"And what about you?"
the second cop said, brows rising on his meaty face. Selena ignored him, meeting the social worker's stare. There was a grand stashed in the box taped under the kitchen sink. If they wanted to be paid off...
"Neither of you is in trouble, Selena Kyle," the social worker said, the embodiment of a bureaucratic, rule-abiding worker bee.
"But as you're both underage and living here alone..." A glance around the apartment said the woman was well aware they'd been on their own for years.
"We need to find a better living arrangement for you both. There are two very nice spots in homes waiting for you right now."
Foster homes. Separate ones. The room, the sounds, her body, they all started to feel a bit distant.
"This is our home," Maggie said softly. "We're fine here."
"State doesn't think so,"
one of the cops said, his sandy mustache yellow against his pasty skin.
"Two little girls living alone in this building?"
The man walked over to the kitchen and began opening cabinets. Selena's heart pounded with every groan and thud of the wood, and her hands began to shake as he stooped, opening the sink cabinets and peered in. A rip of tape, and he chuckled as he stood, cash box in his hands. Flipping open the lid, he smiled at the money inside, lifted the wad of bills, and fanned them. His partner let out a low whistle of approval.
"Been working on the side?" he asked Selena.
The way his eyes raked over her, she knew what kind of work he thought she did.
"No," was all she said. He'd known exactly where that box might be hidden. Perhaps he'd anticipated drugs instead. She should have been better at hiding it, figured out a smarter place for that money.
The social worker said, "You have a record."
"It was from 3 years ago."
Selena's voice came out surprisingly even.
"You have two strikes," the social worker continued. "No judge will let you stay here."
She gestured to their bedroom.
"Go pack your bags. Bring enough stuff for a week or two."
Maggie shook her head.
"I'm not going."
Selena watched as the mustached cop smiled at her and slid that grand into his pocket. Her stomach dropped to her feet, her pulse pounding through every battered inch of her. Two corrupt cops were in her apartment, and an unsympathetic social worker. Not good. Not safe.
"Maggie," she murmured to her sister, "go pack your bags."
Her sister refused to move. Selena turned to the woman, who had now crossed her slender arms.
"My sister has a serious medical condition. A group home in some filthy house is not what she needs."
"Every foster home in our system is constantly inspected for cleanliness and safety. Any home she goes to will meet her needs."
Bullshit. She'd heard from girls in the Leopards that those homes were roach palaces at best.
"And as for Maggie's special needs," the woman said, patience running thin as her words turned clipped, "living with a sister who has a criminal record does not seem so safe either."
Maggie snapped,
"You don't know anything."
Selena shot her sister a warning look. "Go pack your bags." Maggie shook her head, brown curls bouncing.
"I'm not going."
"It's nearly 1 in the morning, the social worker coaxed. "Let's get you settled somewhere safe."
"I'm safe here,"
Maggie said, voice hitching. At the sound of it, the way Maggie's voice broke with fear, Selena's blood started roaring.
"Stay calm, stay focused," Selena tried again.
If it's so late, then why don't we sleep here? You can pick us up in the morning.
And come back to find you've skipped town?
Asked the dark-haired cop, who hadn't pocketed her money.
Not a chance. Get your stuff, now.
No options, no choices, no way to figure this out. Selena put a hand on Maggie's too skinny arm. Medications. Maggie would need to bring all her medications with her. The touch seemed to snap some leash in her sister. Maggie bolted. Not for the bedroom, but for the apartment door. For a moment, the world slowed and bent. All Selena saw was her sister, so frail and small, sprinting past those cops, hair flying behind her. All she saw was the closest cop, the mustached one with their money in his pocket, lunging for Maggie, his enormous hand reaching for her delicate arm. And as that hand closed around Maggie's arm, as her rasping inhale of breath, of pain at the tightness of that grip, filled the apartment, the world, Selena exploded. The dark-haired cop went down first, uppercut to get his head up, then elbow to the nose to put him on the ground. He was unconscious before he hit the carpet. The social worker screeched, but Selena was already on the mustached cop, now whirling toward her, that meaty hand still on Maggie's arm. Selena barreled into him. He dropped Maggie immediately, both of his hands grappling to shove Selena off as they slammed into the wall, cracking plaster.
You little...
His spat words were cut short as Selena ducked out of his grasp, dodged the fumble he made to grab her again, and her fist connected with his face. Her body sang in agony, wounds ripping open, bruises bleeding. Run, she managed to say to Maggie. But her sister remained frozen, gaping, terror draining the color from her face. Slim white hands wrapped around Maggie's arm again, the social worker.
She's not going anywhere.
And those hands and that cold, hateful face, Selena shoved the woman, hard. Hard enough that the social worker went careening into the table, chairs scattering. Maggie screamed and Selena whirled, fists up, knees bending. Too slow. The mustached cop had risen to his feet. She didn't have time to try to dodge before volts of pain tore through her, before his leering, bloody face smiled as he dug a taser right into her neck. Agony barreled in, then the world tilted. Then nothing. The humming of the fluorescent lights was what awoke her. Her tongue was a dry, thick weight in her mouth, her head a pounding mess, her body sitting in a chair, handcuffed to the metal table before her. Precinct room. Selena groaned quietly, surveying the space. Tiny, no one-way mirror, no speakers or cameras. Or anything. She tugged on the cuffs linked to the table to see if they were secured. They were. Maggie. The metal door hissed open, and Selena braced herself. It wasn't the blonde social worker in her cheap suit, or the cop who looked at her a little too long. A tall, slim woman with night black hair and skin like golden honey entered instead. Selena had seen enough of the various businessmen who Falcone liked to associate himself with to know that the white pantsuit was high quality. And from her work with Mika, she knew that the simple, elegant gold jewelry at her neck and ears was real and expensive. The manicured nails, the silky sheet of hair cut into stylish layers, the full mouth painted red, were all markers that screamed money. This was no social worker. Those crimson nails tapped against a thick file in her hands as she approached the table and the empty chair before it. Selena's file. Not good.
Where's Maggie?
The words were a low rasp. Water. She needed some water. And aspirin.
My name is Talia. Where is Maggie?
Keeping her head upright took every bit of effort thanks to the taser bruise that still radiated pain down her neck and spine.
Your name is Selena Kyle, and you are 17 years old, 3 weeks away from being 18.
A click of the tongue as she slid into the metal chair across the table, opened up that fat file and began flipping through the pages. The table was too long for Selena to see what the woman examined.
"For someone so young, you've certainly accomplished an impressive amount."
Flick, flap, hiss.
"Illegal betting, assault, robbery."
Shame and pride warred through her. Shame for the fact that if Maggie ever heard this, the unvarnished truth of her crimes, Selena knew she couldn't endure the look she'd see on her sister's face. Pride for the fact that she had done this, had survived in the best way she could, had given her sister what she could as well. But Selena managed to keep her voice cool, bored, as she replied,
"I was never convicted of the last two."
"No, but the charges are on here,"
Talia countered, tapping a red nail on the paper.
"What you will be convicted of in a matter of days is aggravated battery of two police officers and a state worker."
Selena just stared at the woman from beneath lowered brows. No way out of this room, this precinct, and even if she did make it, then she'd have to find Maggie, which would be the first stop the cops would make, too. Talia smiled slightly, revealing two white teeth.
"Did the police give you those bruises?"
Selena didn't reply. Talia flicked through those papers again, scanning for something.
"Or are those bruises and split knuckles from the fighting you do for Carmine Falcone?"
Silence. Leopards didn't talk. Selena hadn't the first two times she'd been here. She wasn't about to now.
"Do you know what it means to be 3 weeks away from 18 in Gotham City?"
Talia leaned forward, resting her arms on the metal table. There was a slight accent to her words, some rolling purr.
"I can buy lotto tickets."
Again, that hint of a smile.
"It means you will be lucky if the judge tries you as a juvenile. It's your third strike. You're looking at bars no matter what. The question is whether it's kiddie prison or the big girls' club."
Where is Maggie? The question was a roar in her blood, a screaming, thrashing demand. Talia leaned back in her chair and slid a paper-clipped file toward Selena.
"Your sister is at a group home in the Bowery of the East End."
Oh, God. If their apartment complex was garbage, then the Bowery was the entire dump. The gangs in that area, even Falcone didn't mess with them. Selena set her bound hands on the file Talia had pushed over, the photo of a grimy, cramped bedroom atop it, Maggie's new bedroom. She turned the paper over, fingers curling.
"Lord knows who is running that home,"
Talia mused, flipping through the rest of Selena's file.
"Are you trying to piss me off so they can add assaulting a grade-A asshole to my rap sheet?"
The question was out, low and growling, before Selena could reconsider. Talia laughed, a light and silvery sound.
"Do you think you could do it? Handcuffed?"
A faint click sounded in answer. Rotating her free wrist, Selena dropped the straightened paperclip onto the metal table. A sleight of hand, turning over that photo of Maggie's foster home to distract the eye while she palmed the paperclip, and then used it and some careful angling to spring a handcuff free. She'd bought a pair a few years ago to use for practice, to learn how the locking mechanism worked, for precisely this sort of moment. Talia smiled again, full and wide, and let out a satisfied hum.
"Clever girl."
She jerked her chin towards Selena's free hand.
"I'd suggest putting it back on. You know how uptight the police can be about such things."
She did, and she knew that even if she unlocked the other cuff and pummeled this woman's face in, she still wouldn't make it out of this holding room or the precinct. Selena clicked the handcuff back around her wrist, leaving it loose enough that she could free herself again should the need arise. Talia watched every movement, head angled to the side, dark hair shifting.
"I'm here to offer you a bargain, Selena Kyle."
Selena waited. Talia closed her file.
"I run a vocational school for young women like you. Physically skilled, yes."
A nod toward the cuffs, the bruises on her face.
but smart, most of all.
She placed a hand on the file.
I've got chart after chart of your grades, your exam scores. Do your little kitty cat friends know you're top of your class and that you aced all state?